Highway 212. Written by Ruzard Publication. Narrated by Ken Kowalik. I'm writing this on my phone. Battery at 8%. If someone finds this, tell my sister I'm sorry I missed her wedding. My name is James Murphy. 3 days ago, my car died on Highway 212 in Montana. No cell service. I saw a farmhouse sitting far off the highway, half hidden in the dark. I walked to it. That was my first mistake. The man who answered the door looked like somebody's grandfather. He wore a red flannel shirt, the kind with little round snap buttons down the front. He smiled when he saw me.
Car trouble?
Yeah, transmission. I pause, looking around at the darkness beyond his porch. No other houses. No lights for miles.
Do you have a phone I can use?
Sure thing. Come on in. I'm Henry. His handshake was warm. The house smelled incredible. Roasting meat, garlic, herbs. My stomach growled loud enough for him to hear. He laughed.
When'd you last eat?
Around 1 o'clock, just lunch.
Well, hell, it's past 8 now. Sit down. I got a roast in the oven. More than enough for 2.
I should have said no. Used the phone and walked outside. But I was starving, and it smelled so good, and he seemed so genuinely kind. We ate in his kitchen. The meat was perfect, tender, seasoned just right. He told stories about growing up on the farm, his wife who died and a daughter in Denver who never called anymore. I didn't ask many questions, just sat there thinking it must be pretty rough being this alone, this forgotten. I relaxed a little. After dinner, he brought out the phone, old rotary model. I dialed AAA. Nothing.
Huh, Henry paused. Lines must be down. Happens sometimes. They'll be back up by morning. Couch is comfortable if you want to stay.
I hesitated.
Or you can walk back to your car in the dark. Your choice. But there's no lights on that road.
He was right. I'd already walked that road once in the dark. I couldn't see 2 feet in front of me. I wasn't doing it again. He set me up on the couch with a blanket and pillow, showed me where the bathroom was.
I appreciate it, I said.
Not sure about sleeping in a stranger's home, but what choice did I have?
Don't mention it. That's what neighbors are for.
I tried to sleep, but couldn't. Something felt off. Around midnight, I got up to use the bathroom, which was down the hall. I passed several closed doors on the way there. When I came back out, one of them was open. I knew it had been closed before. I looked inside. It was dark, but there was a switch by the door. I flipped it. A freezer. Industrial size. The kind you see in restaurant kitchens. Curiosity got the best of me. I opened it and the cold hit me first. Then the smell. Meat and frost and something chemical. There were packages inside, wrapped in white butcher paper and labeled in black marker. I picked one up. M. Patterson, 314, chuck roast, 4.2 pounds. I grabbed another. J. Baker, 722, tenderloin, 3.8 pounds. Another. S. Lisa, 10-3, shoulder, 6.1 pounds. Full names, dates, cuts of meat. My hands started shaking. I dropped the package. It hit the floor like a brick.
Find something interesting?
I spun around. Henry stood in the doorway, still wearing that red flannel shirt with the little round snap buttons, smiling.
These names, what are they?
Guests, like you.
You're killing people.
No, he shook his head, looking genuinely offended.
I'm feeding people. There's a difference.
He stepped into the room.
You were hungry, I fed you. And when you're gone, you'll feed someone else.
I ran, shoved past him and sprinted for the front door. Locked. I went upstairs. Henry followed slowly, taking each step one at a time.
You're making this harder than it needs to be, James.
I found a bedroom, locked myself inside, and pushed a dresser against the door. My chest was heaving. I pressed my back against the dresser and looked around the room. There was a window with no bars. I ran to the window and looked down. 20 feet of open air, nothing but hard concrete below. Behind me, the dresser scraped across the floor. The handle turned.
I understand. Everyone panics at first.
I looked around for a weapon and found a lamp in the corner. I ripped the cord out and held it like a club.
You're already part of the cycle, James. Fighting it now seems ungrateful.
The door handle stopped turning. Silence. Then I heard his footsteps going back downstairs. I waited an hour, maybe two. Nothing. At dawn, I moved the dresser and opened the door slowly. The hall was empty. I crept downstairs. The front door was unlocked. Henry sat at the kitchen table, drinking coffee and reading a newspaper like it was any other morning.
Morning. Coffee's fresh if you want some.
I just stared at him.
Door's open. You can leave. Walk back to your car. Try to get help.
You're just letting me go?
Of course. I'm not a monster, James.
He sipped his coffee.
I'm not going to force you to stay.
I didn't trust his words, but the door was open. I ran down the driveway and hit the main road, walking fast in the direction I'd left my car.
It was gone, like it had never been there.
I kept walking. Hours passed. The sun got higher and hotter, and I had no water, no food, and not a single car passed the entire time. Eventually, my legs gave out, and I sat down right in the middle of the road, head in my hands, trying to think, trying to make sense of any of it. The road stretched out in both directions and looked exactly the same either way, flat and empty and going nowhere. That's when I looked up and saw a house in the distance. I already knew before I started walking toward it. It was Henry's farmhouse. I stood there for a long time just staring at it. The road must have curved. I must have walked in a circle. I told myself that and turned around, walking the other direction this time. 4 hours later, I was back at Henry's farm. He was on the porch, rocking in a chair like he'd been waiting.
Roads are funny out here. Easy to get turned around.
My legs gave out on his lawn. I hit the ground hard and everything went dark. When I came to, I was on the couch, a glass of water on the table beside me, Henry in the armchair across the room, watching me with that same patient expression. I drank the water without thinking. I was too thirsty to care.
You see now? There's nowhere to go. The farm is special. Once you're here, really here, you can't leave. Not alive, anyway.
How long? I whispered.
How long what?
How long have you been doing this?
He thought about it for a moment, like I'd asked him something as ordinary as how long he'd lived in the house.
Hard to say. Time moves different here. 20 years? 30? More? After a while, you stop counting.
Why me?
Why anyone?
My hands started shaking. The room started spinning. I tried to focus, but I couldn't. Everything was fading. He stood up.
Get some rest, James. I find the ones who fight back always taste bitter.
Everything went black again. That was 3 days ago. I know this is long. I keep telling myself that writing it keeps me calm. He moved me to the basement this morning. I didn't fight back. I'm not sure I could have, even if I tried. He brings me food 3 times a day. Roasted vegetables, fresh bread, water. No meat. I've been writing this between his visits, waiting for a moment alone with my phone. Battery at 2%. If you find this, don't stop at farmhouses on Highway 212. Don't eat the food. Don't go inside. Then I heard it. Footsteps above me, a door opening.
Hello? Is anyone here? Our car broke down. Do you have a phone? We seem to have no signal out here.
A woman and a child.
Of course,
Henry's voice, warm and welcoming as the day I arrived.
Come on in.
I tried to scream. Nothing came out but a raw scrape of air.
You have a little one. How old?
He's 7. We've been driving for hours and... Mommy, I'm hungry.
A small voice. A child.
I got stew on the stove. Just finished it.
I heard their footsteps moving slowly above me towards the kitchen. I pounded on the ceiling until my knuckles split open and bled, but nothing happened. Then came the sounds. Chairs scraping across the floor. Spoons hitting bowls. Then silence. Something heavy hit the floor above me. Cold air began seeping through the boards, wrapping around me in the dark. A single pair of footsteps moved through the kitchen and stopped. A long silence stretched out. Then Henry's voice drifted down from above, so low I could barely hear it. My phone screen went black.